This is a Quest Life in God podcast with Andrew Brandon on the topic of living with God. This is the first of five episodes entitled An Introduction to a Rule of Life, Part 1. Original music is composed and performed by Russell Stokes.
Welcome to the first in my series on the rule of life. I'm in the beautiful Chiltern Hills, God's majestic organic cathedral. Who'd want to record in a stuffy little room or office if you can film your talk with this kind of backdrop? You'll hear birds singing, sheep bleating, and you may even see the occasional dog walker. Remember, dogs don't respect social distances, and they often come up to me and start sniffing around. During the imposed lockdown of COVID-19, cycling has been going through a boom time. Cycles have been selling almost as quickly as toilet rolls, pasta, and antiseptic hand gel. And you know the kind of rugby scrum that takes place in a superstore if these products are on short supply. When I begin my early morning prayer walks across the Chiltern Hills, the cyclists are out in force. The first part of my walk runs parallel with a narrow country road called the Vale. Cyclists hurtle along this stretch, clad in clinging lycra, faces intent beneath their aerodynamic helmets, and riding carbon fibre road bikes that cost as much as cars and are only marginally heavier than my walking boots. In the silence of early morning, I can hear them coming from afar. Tires squealing on the tarmac, and the soft, rhythmic hum of chains spinning the miniature wheels of derailleur gears. I love the sound. A perfect synergy of human and machine. The cycle dramatically enhances the rider's physical capabilities and performance, facilitating speeds and distances that would be otherwise unattainable. A bicycle is an adrenaline machine. Who can run at 45 miles per hour or travel 150 miles plus in a day without a rocket pack? This brings me to the reason for this introduction. Wheels. Yes, you heard me right. Wheels. A poor set of wheels can let down an excellent frame and componentry. There's nothing more irritating than the twang, twang, twang of braking spokes and the wobbly feel of a cycle ridden on buckled wheels. It's like being given a piggy bank by a drunk. The cycle wobbles, swerves, bucks, and jerks erratically to the right and left. Our most efficient machine is having a breakdown. If this isn't bad enough, the brake blocks catch on the buckled rim and the wheel goes into lockdown. Propelling the cycle forward is like climbing a vertical rock face, a true test of one's fitness, stamina, self-control and Christian character. I've watched saints lose it completely and kick and abuse their cycles while yelling, "One more broken spoke and I'll hurl you under a lorry." Lord have mercy. Is this how they treat their wife or husband if the dinner's burnt? My advice: buy the best set of wheels you can afford and avoid the temptation to sin. I learnt this lesson through bitter experience. After riding on a cycle with wheels that had reshaped themselves into rectangles, I'd have remortgaged my house to buy a decent set. I couldn't endure the juddering, rollicking, rattling, and rolling anymore. I was getting seasick on my cycle. The solution? A brand new hand-built set of wheels. Campagnola record hubs. 40 13-gauge spokes per wheel. And bomb-proof rims. Goodbye buckles and broken spokes. 40 years and thousands of miles later, they're still running like new. That's quality for you. A cycle wheel is an excellent illustration of the rule of life, the topic of this first devotional. I can intuit the puzzlement on your faces. A rule of what? Okay, maybe I was too abrupt introducing the idea. Rule of life smacks of the kind of strict routines and rules that are imposed on unruly offenders in Her Majesty's prisons. On first hearing the descriptor, rule of life, you don't think of grace. The title feels cold, formal, and impersonal. Why should we impose rule on our lives when God's grace has set us free? Surely this is what Paul meant when he warned us in Galatians 5:1 to throw off the yoke of slavery. I felt exactly the same way when I was first introduced to the idea of living by rule. Well, I haven't done anything wrong, so why put me in shackles? 50 years after that introduction, I have learnt to love the idea of rule of life and practice it. Rule doesn't restrict freedom and do away with grace, but gives life a harmony, purpose, and a context in which to know, love, and grow in God. Harold Miller, whose little book on rule dispelled my early prejudice, writes, "Living by rule, then, is a way of life, a pattern. It is like being a regular soldier rather than a volunteer who only fights when he feels like it. So rule is not a series of little laws. It is rather an orderly way of existence, which has, as its opposite, not liberty, but chaos. A rule of life, I was to learn, liberates." Let me give you a brief history of the rule of life. Rule was developed in the early monastic movements of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries of the Christian era to guide the behavior and practices of communities of monks. A rule provided group cohesion and identity, controlled all the events of the day, allocated specific times for prayer and study, and even regulated when monks could speak and were required to be silent. The purpose of the rule was to give God absolute priority in the lives of the monks. He was the hub of the wheel. And all their activities were the wheel spokes. If the community was properly aligned to the hub, the wheel would spin without a buckle, and the rim, the unity of the order, would retain its integrity. Obedience to the rule guaranteed the health and harmony of the community. Rule of life is not such a strange idea. Every club, company, charity, and organization have guiding values that determine the ethos of the company and the efficiency of the staff or members. Moreover, time management has become a science in many business communities. If time is not used sensibly, individuals and companies are less efficient. We need structures and intelligent work rhythms in order to fulfill our true potential and live productive and useful lives. If time is not properly managed, we fritter it away. Wasted time can never be redeemed. It's gone. The Apostle Paul writes, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as people who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of these days. Make the best use of your time. The abbots and their monks recognize the importance of imposing an order on their day if they were to maintain regular patterns of worship, study, and contemplation. Each monastic movement borrowed from each other, but created their own distinct rule. These rules have much in common, and all share the same underlying assumption. Knowing God is not a higgledy-piggledy affair, but requires imagination, discipline, order, planning, and even accountability. Friendship with God is certainly free for all. That's a message of the grace of God, but it's never a free-for-all. Discipline, imagination, and planning are required. As Bonhoeffer reminds us, grace is free, but never cheap. Let me take you on a slight detour to the wild side and then return to the main path. I want to show you something. A.W. Tozer wrote an intriguing article called Born After Midnight that had a significant impact on me. This is not, as you may have imagined, an account of the night shift in a maternity ward. He used a metaphor to describe those who are so earnest in their pursuit of God that they push on beyond normal limits. Hence the title, Born After Midnight. Their thirst for God drives them to determine effort and sacrifice. At this stage, let me have a scratch because I'm being attacked by a resident host of mosquitoes who are enjoying a feast on Brandon blood. Back to our topic. We may be reluctant to join this company because of the basic misunderstanding that these people were crazy. We parody spiritual superheroes and regard them with a great deal of caution and suspicion. Living in a windowless dugout and subsisting on a diet of onions like St. Cuthbert, or spending 37 years sitting atop a pillar like Simon of Stylites are not really our thing. And when it comes to sin, curbing fleshy lusts like St. Benedict by diving starkers into a thorn bush or standing naked in the North Sea like Lindisfarne's penitent monks and quoting all 150 Psalms are not on our bucket list of temptation inhibitors. We can cope with the occasional cold shower and have been known to fast for a day or two and have even given up chocolate for Lent. But we've never felt the pull to join the ascetics, masochists, self-flagellators, castrators, and contortionists who practice their piety in Christianity's loony fringe. Be comforted. This is not what Tozer meant when he referred to being born after midnight. He was saying in his typically quaint and picturesque manner that if we want to know God, we must make a serious effort and organize our lives accordingly. God is not a convenience like a vacuum cleaner that we can pull out when needed. He is the hub of the wheel. Remove him and everything falls to pieces. A rule for the ancient as well as the contemporary monastic orders was designed to give God absolute priority. The monks shared their lives together around him. Each spoke of their day, found its true alignment and purpose in him. Whether they were tending herbs in the garden, copying scripture in the scriptorium, celebrating Eucharist in the chapel, or crushing grapes in the winery, they did so under Jesus' eye and for his glory. They conformed to a very simple yet profound maxim: enjoy everything in God and enjoy God in everything. Let me repeat that, because it is critically important. Enjoy everything in God and enjoy God in everything.